thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, again, I pretty much have preached through the five chapters, but I want to take this one this morning, this verse, and just sort of kick off November and Thanksgiving season with this right here, reminding us that Thanksgiving is God's will for us. Thanksgiving is God's will for us. You say, what if it don't go your way Tuesday night? Thanksgiving is still God's will for us. Amen, right? So that's the will of God. What is the will of God? Well, the Bible gets real specific with it right here and tells us one thing that is the will of God is thanksgiving and gratefulness. And we certainly want to ask God to help us with that. So let's pray one more time. Dear Father, I pray you will help us, God, to have the right spirit about ourselves, good attitudes about ourselves, Lord. And God, this month, Lord, to maybe a little more than usual focus on gratefulness and thanksgiving, especially towards you, but also towards others. And Lord, I pray you guide and direct us in our message here this morning, and I ask it in Jesus' name, amen. Now, I call these really are kind of sentence sermons. I mean, I kind of define a sentence sermon as a brief statement that says a lot and teaches a good lesson. A brief statement that says a lot and teaches a good lesson. It's a sentence sermon. So I guess we're done. We're done here today, right? Now, I want to go back to that part where it says a lot. Okay, let's go back and focus on that part. It is a brief statement. It says a lot, and it teaches a lesson. I try to put some statements in your bulletin like that every week. We try to put statements on the sign out there like that every week that are just little sentence sermons, and they do. It's brief. It says a lot, and it teaches us something. And this certainly is a sentence sermon from Scripture for us right here. Now, obviously, we know gratefulness is a great virtue to have. Gratefulness is a very noble quality. If somebody is a grateful person and has a grateful spirit about themselves and thanksgiving about themselves, and I'm glad this, it can be learned. If you're naturally pessimistic, you're naturally a complainer and a grumbler and a griper and all of that, it can be learned. Why are y'all looking at somebody out there? Especially married folks. There's some looks going on. But some folks are naturally, like, not grateful. Matter of fact, I don't think it's even really in our human nature to be grateful. Honestly, we don't naturally do that. We're selfish, naturally. We're sinful people, right? And we are naturally. But I'm saying this. It can be learned and it can be developed. Especially for a child of God when the Lord is working on us. Amen? Let me turn this on here. I think it's on. All right. Especially for a child of God who the Lord is working on us all the time to make us what we ought to be. So you say, well, that's not my nature. No, it's the Holy Spirit's nature because we know it's the right thing to do. And we see here it's the will of God for us to develop a thankful spirit towards God, number one, but I think it ought to overflow towards other people as well, right? And I ask God to help us. And we'll try to focus on that throughout this month as well. So we are blessed people, amen? We're God's people. We've got the Savior. Therefore, we need to be the examples of this thing, okay? And this is one of these sermons that I preach to myself, and you probably could catch me on it later on. Preacher, you said, now you're griping now, but you said, okay, so y'all, you know, I'll confess right there. I need it as well. But let's look at a few ideas about this today. Thanksgiving is God's will for us. I want to say this, number one. Let's talk about the obligation of Thanksgiving. The obligation of Thanksgiving. He said it is the will of God. That means we're obligated. God wants us to do it. We're obligated to give thanks to God, right? Amen. If it's the will of God, this basically is a command from God that we are obligated to be grateful to God, right? We ought to be obligated. Now, have you ever heard the old phrase? I like the old phrase. You ever heard people say, much obliged? I like that old statement. I don't hear it much anymore. I hear a lot of thank you or appreciate it. Much obliged. I think that's a very good statement. It implies that I am obligated, much obliged. I'm obligated. I owe you now. I'm grateful. I'm thankful. I am much obliged. I am obligated to be thankful to you because you have helped me so much. I think that's a good phrase we ought to revive. Thank you is a good phrase. We ought to teach that. Much obliged. Folks, if we're much obliged to anybody, if we are much obligated to anyone, it is to the God of mercy up in heaven who loves us so and died for us. Amen? To save our soul. We are much obliged. We ought to realize God is God. He's given me the life that I have. He's given me all that I have. And I owe it all to Him. Much obliged to God, right? We are obligated to be grateful. We are obligated to be thankful to God if no one else. I mean, in regards to our eternal salvation, are you much obliged today that by grace through faith, you are on your way to heaven today? Amen. We are much obliged to God because without salvation, without that grace, we're not going to heaven. We all are born into this world sinners on our way to hell. And the only way that changes is whenever we turn to Christ by faith and He saves our soul, forgives our sin, and then He prepares a place for us up in heaven. He brings us into His family, right? We ought to be much obliged today, obligated to give thanks unto God. And then not only that, as the choir sang, until then, He's blessing and guiding and helping every day. Amen. Isn't God good? And He's helping us, guide us through this life every day. And we read here that it is what God expects. It's what God wants. What is the will? What's the battle of the wills? If you ever dealt with a toddler, there's the battle of the wills. Meaning they got a will, you got a will. They got something they want to do, and you've got something else you want them to do, right? Well, we have the battle of the will with God oftentimes. God's will, God's want to, God's desire, God's plan is that we follow Him and obey His word and please the Lord, right? I mean, the Bible teaches us that as Christian people, we ought to be concerned about the will of God in all things, right? Jesus showed us in the Garden of Gethsemane, whenever He surrendered to the will of the Father, and He said, not my will, but thine be done. He gave us that example that in all things, even hard things, we should surrender to His plan and not our own. And God can lead our life better than we can. Amen, right? So we're surrendered to the will of God, understanding that. But right here He gets real specific with it and says it's thanksgiving. Now, Jesus said this, whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Jesus said, whoever does the will of my Father obeys His plan, right? In Acts 21, the Bible says this, and when he, that is Paul, would not be persuaded, we ceased saying, the will of the Lord be done. So they were trying to persuade Paul, the apostle, to take a certain course of action which he didn't want to do. There was a battle of the wills there, right? They said, Paul, we don't think you should do this. We think you should do this over here. And Paul said, no. This is what I'm going to do. So finally they just threw the hands up and said, the will of the Lord be done. You ever said that? Lord willing. Lord willing, we'll do this or that. You say, I'm praying that the will of God be done. Amen. I take this election and I say, I put it in your hands and I pray that the will of the Lord be done, right? Anything and everything, we throw it in God's hands. And as Paul was being stubborn, he was a stubborn preacher, and they couldn't get him to do what they wanted him to do. And then they finally said, the will of the Lord be done. We all say that, I think, and that's a good spirit and attitude to have. In anything. But again, right here in this text, he gets real specific. What is the will of God? It's not that hard to find. Most of it is laid out right here in the Bible. And we're told specifically right here, the will of God is to be thankful. To be grateful. Right? And we ought to practice that in our lives all the time, that it is so specific and plainly stated. So we're much obliged. We're obligated. You know, whenever I was a young man, my dad co-signed for me to, on a car loan. Later, I was out of state, And a young married student in college, my older brother, I was up here in North Carolina. In fact, my older brother had already been here a few years. He co-signed. I want to tell you, on both of those car payments that I had, both times, each time, somebody else's name was on that. I want to tell you, I had an extra sense of obligation to make sure that payment was made because somebody else's name, reputation, and credit was riding on it. Y'all understand? You can ask Maria, you ask my wife. We're going to eat beans for a week. That bill's getting paid right there. I mean, I'm telling you, that's getting paid because somebody else's name, what was that? That was an extra sense of obligation that I had. You know, we ought to always have an extra sense of obligation to be thankful to God. In fact, let me say this. I feel that way about the tithe. Do you realize whenever you put the tithe in, I started to say your tithe, but the tithe is the Lord's. Whenever you put the tithe in the plate, you know what you could do? Drop it in and say, much obliged, Lord. I am much obliged, Lord, as I put this in there. You have been good to me. I'm going to tell you, that's a good time to use the phrase. Amen. I am much obliged, God. What I have is yours. And you've given me some of it, and I'm going to give back to you what you told me to give back. We ought to be much obliged right there. Amen. And grateful and thankful for all that God has given to us. So there's the obligation that we ought to say, thank you, Jesus. You died on the cross. You left heaven, you came, you suffered, you died on the cross, you shed your sinless, innocent, pure blood to cover my sins. Much obliged. I am obligated. It is the will of God that we sing praises unto God here today. Amen? It is the will of God. We're obligated in this. Can I say number two? I want to say this number two. There's the obsession of thanksgiving. And what I mean by that is, he says, in everything. You ever got obsessed with something? You know, some people kind of geared that way. You get obsessed with things. Nobody's confessing, but I know you do. Some people just get, and it's weird. I even Googled this, and I didn't come up with much, but what kind of things do people get obsessed with? It's just an endless list, and you know it's weird what people get obsessed with, right? Get focused on. Now, the idea here in everything, look, if a person gets obsessed with something, everything is about that right there, right? They're all in 110% on whatever it is. I mean, they might be obsessed with a food, or they might be obsessed with a hobby or a sport. Some people get obsessed with a celebrity. Some people get obsessed with, like, yard work. I don't understand that. That's strange. But people can get obsessed with weird things sometimes. I mean, it's just strange how people can get fixated on something. Well, can you imagine if everybody was obsessed with giving thanks unto God? Can you imagine that? Everybody is obsessed with just thanking God. Everybody's obsessed with saying thank you to each other. Now, again, that's really not in our nature, right? In fact, I don't know, that might get a little bit weird right there. Everybody would be so nice, and it would be so touchy-feely. It would get so emotional. Everybody is just so, so grateful. I don't know. I might get a little uncomfortable around that. I was thinking the other day, like the guy who says, oh, I'm a hugger, and I just want to hug everybody. And I'm like, well, I'm not. You go somewhere else with that, okay? I might just, if it got like that all the time, you know, I don't know. Boy, I just want to hug you. I'm so grateful all the time. I'm teasing a little bit, okay? But seriously now, what if we all had a good, positive attitude all the time and were grateful and thankful? You ever done something for somebody and wondered, 12 days later, still waiting on that thank you, right? You know? And sometimes we'll get an attitude about that, right? Jesus, you know, healed those 10 lepers and he's like, where are the other nine? One came back to say, thank you. Where are the others? So sometimes, you know, we're not doing it. But if everybody, though, what I'm saying is, if everybody was just obsessed with being grateful, well, it would be a different kind of world, wouldn't it? There wouldn't be that entitlement. There wouldn't be that you owe me. There would be that thank you. I do appreciate it.
And this says in everything we thank God. You know, I actually heard a little interview recently with an athlete, football player, that had gone through some injuries and some surgeries and got recovered from it. But you know, I was impressed. He had a very humble attitude. He didn't have an entitlement. He didn't have, his attitude was, good health is from God. Other people have it worse. You know, we ought not take things for granted. We ought to say, I'm obliged to thank God. And I want to be obsessed with saying, God, thank you for what you've done for me. Starting with salvation and then everything else in our life. So if we all get obsessed with this thing of just obeying this verse right here, or in general, obeying God. But it does say, again, it says in everything. That's the obsession. That is obsession. That is the idea of I'm all in with this. I'm 110%. Now, Paul said it this way to the Ephesians. Giving thanks always in all things. Here he used the phrase in everything. There he says always in all things. Is that not all in, right? That's 110%. That's where I'm getting the idea of just get obsessed with this thing. In everything, in all things, let's just be grateful and thankful to God. You know, as I just said about the young man who went through injuries and surgeries but came out with a good attitude, right? You know, we don't enjoy hard times. We don't enjoy hardships. We don't enjoy those things. But you do realize sometimes we get more out of the hard times than we do the easy times. And sometimes if we'll have the right spirit and attitude through that, we can come out of that, hopefully come out of that, or even like Job in the midst of that, and still have a spirit of recognizing God. And thanking God. Getting closer to God. And if that trouble and that trial got us closer to God, got us better with God, not bitter at God, we can thank God for it. Right? Whatever the hardship, whatever the issue, whatever the problem is, we can say. So he said, in everything, always, in all things. So, preacher, you're saying the bad things too. That's everything. Always, in all things. Some things are not that easy to say thank you for, right? We don't always say thank you, Lord, for this trial or this trouble or this problem. But if we would learn to say thank you to the Lord. There was one young lady who complained about a lot of stuff to her dad. She talked about how hard life was. And he went into the kitchen and took her in there and he got 3 pots of water. He got them all to boiling. And in one of those pots, he put some carrots. And the boiling water softened it. In one of those pots, he put some eggs. The boiling water hardened it. He's saying, hey, they both face the same adversity, but they both responded differently. You can be softened by this or you can be hardened by this. But then in the third pot, he put some ground coffee beans and it changed the water into coffee. And he said, or you could work on changing your atmosphere and your attitude and your circumstances like the coffee does, right? You know, with God's help, we can do that one right there. Don't get hardened. Get soft. But also ask God to help you change with it to make it better. Amen? If we're obsessed with Thanksgiving, I think we can see that happen more. If we would get obsessed with this idea of responding with gratefulness. God, I know I belong to you. God, I know I'm yours. And God, I don't like what I'm going through. I don't really enjoy this. I wish you would take this away. But Lord, I thank you. You've given this to me for a reason. And Lord, it brings me closer to you. Thank you for it, right? So maybe God will help us with this to realize it is an obligation. It can be an obsession in the sense that we just thank God for everything. But then let me say number three. Number three is this, the object of thanksgiving, because it says in our verse, in Christ Jesus, concerning you. Now, Jesus is the object. But that part about concerning you, aren't you glad that Christianity is a personal relationship? It's personal. Concerning you. I mentioned last week when Jesus went to that tree, he told Zacchaeus, he knows your name. Amen. It's personal, right? Jesus knows your name. Jesus wants to help you. Concerning you, it is God's plan. Now listen, it is God's plan for you personally to get saved and to be glad for it. Yeah, what's the will of God? Get saved. Be glad you're saved. Thank God you're saved. Amen. Praise God when you come to church, right? And all through the week. Concerning you. It's personal. It's what God wants us to do. But the object of it is in Christ Jesus. Jesus is to be the object of our praise. Again, He loved us. He died for us. He made it possible for us to have this personal relationship with God Almighty. The God of mercy. The God of grace and forgiveness. Jesus is the one that made the way so that you and I can have this relationship. Amen. So the object of our praise. Now I already said you can thank people. You can be grateful to people. You ought to be. It will spill over. But number one and foremost, we ought to be grateful and thankful to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The God in heaven that loves us. Isn't that first and foremost where our thanksgiving ought to go to? In Christ Jesus. That is the object of this. Now, you know, the fact of the matter is God blesses everybody. I mean, the Bible says He sends rain on the just and the unjust. He sends rain on the saved person. And He sends it over there on the one that's not saved and rejects His Son or don't want anything to do with Him. God blesses everybody, right? So actually, everybody ought to be grateful to God. But I'm saying more so, personally, a child of God, a Christian, a Bible-believing Christian, ought to be more grateful because we're saved and our sins are forgiven. The Lord came to us. The Lord made the way of salvation plain to us. Perhaps you were raised in a Christian home and your parents showed you the way. Thank God for it. Amen. Perhaps somebody else brought the gospel to you at another time in your life. Thank God for it. That's God personally reaching out to you, right? And you say, where's the object of my gratefulness and thanksgiving? Number one, it ought to go to God. You know what they say about an atheist? When something good happens, he has nobody to thank. I'm glad we've got somebody to thank, amen? And first and foremost, we've got God to thank, right? And we ought to thank God. You know, Paul said, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians. What he meant by that was, he said, I am indebted to share the gospel with the world. Anybody, anywhere, I am indebted. You know why? Because he knew he didn't deserve to have it. He knew it was by the grace of God, and he knew there was an obligation pressed upon him to share the good news of salvation with anybody and everybody everywhere. Amen? He said, I feel indebted. You know what that is? I am much obliged. I have an obligation. I feel the debt to share this. But you know, it's not only that we feel indebted to share the gospel and the good news, it's that we feel indebted to say, thank you, Jesus, I'm saved. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. You know, whenever we have the praise and pie service, praise and pie when I have to pry Thanksgiving out of you folks and testimony. No, I'm kidding. No, what I was going to say was, I don't pry it out of you. You give testimonies. And one of the things we hear over and over again, and rightly so, is, I thank the Lord for saving my soul. I thank the Lord for bringing the gospel to my life or to my family or to my home, whatever the case might be, right? And that's what we ought to thank God for. If you're saved and you're not going to hell and you know you're not going to hell and you know you're saved, you're not going to hell, what? My goodness, we ought to be much obliged. And the object of our salvation is, of our gratefulness and thanksgiving is our Savior. So just as Paul said, I feel indebted to share the good news with everybody. I think he also felt indebted, because he's the one that wrote a lot about this, to thanksgiving to God for that salvation. Amen? And may we also feel that indebtedness as well as we think about these things. A missionary had a hard time, drowned in a river accident in the jungle somewhere. In his diary, it was found later after he had died in that accident, he wrote of troubles. He wrote of trials. He wrote of turmoils. But you know, the last entry in his diary was this: I am overwhelmed with a sense of God's goodness. Yes, God is good. You say, but he had troubles, he had trials. So, doesn't everybody? And he was doing the work of God, the will of God. But yet he knew God was with him. You say, yeah, but he died. Where'd he go? He went to heaven to be with God, right? Folks, we ought to be overwhelmed with that sense of gratitude and gratefulness and thanksgiving today. If you're saved today, you ought to have it. If you're not saved today, you ought to get saved and be glad for it. Amen? Be glad that God sent his only begotten Son. That his Son came and lived a perfect life and never sinned and went to a cross, shed his blood, and died there to pay for our sins. We're obligated, aren't we? We ought to get obsessed with it. In everything in our Christian life, we ought to do this. And always remember, the object of our thanksgiving first and foremost is the Lord, our Savior. Amen? I hope maybe this will help us as we enter into this month, enter into this important week in our country, in our life, to be grateful people, thanking God. Now, you ought to pray for things. You ought to pray for that election. You ought to ask God for things going on in your life. You ought to pray about your troubles, your trials, and your turmoils, and all of that with thanksgiving. Right? And may God help us here today. Are people good to you and you say thank you? We all know people. We got people that are good to us. Amen? Just extra good to us. We're much obliged. We say thank you. Right? But first and foremost, our Savior, the Lord. I point you to him today to say, thank you, Lord. Praise his name. Amen. And may he help us with this today. Would you bow your heads with me today? Thanksgiving is God's